PFT Media.
And the darkest power right now being Orlando Traffic.
Ooh.
As our main man, our co-host Pedro Lima tries to make it here in the studio, but we're going to keep trudging on without him. Hurry up. Hurry up, Gorilla. We got you. Apropos lyric.
Fight for survival.
And rulers of the world, considering what we're about to talk about today here. Welcome to Devils in the Details, episode 34. I am your host, Dan Perella. With me, of course, my co-host, Clara Sinclair.
Whoop, whoop.
And super producer, Chris Crespo. How we doing?
How you doing?
We're doing quite well.
Yeah,
doing quite
looking
well.
All clean shaven, looking good.
You do. You've had a haircut, haven't you?
The shave I've had. Life, yeah, once or twice.
He's doing the Clark Kent swoopy do to the right.
It does have a little ringlet in it, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Save the day. I'm getting ready for my role at Spooky Empire.
Another shaving this weekend. Role, yes.
Oh, wait, that's this weekend.
That is this weekend.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yes.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, actually, for people listening to this, it was this past weekend.
It was this past weekend.
So how did it go? Did it go well?
Amazing.
Yeah? Tell me, what was your favorite part of the weekend?
The best part was when I did a triple backflip off of the top of the ring.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was amazing.
And I landed on my feet.
Yeah.
And then I used lightning bolts. Wait, I went too far with the lightning bolts.
A little bit. They
I would have sold you. I would have sold you. I would have
up to the lightning bolts, I think they would have had you.
Yeah. Damn. I am going to have my fingers ripped off, though, so that'll be fun.
Yes.
Really?
Spooky Empire is our horror-themed show. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So all the characters are horror-themed characters.
So what are we doing, then?
I'm going to be Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Awesome! Yeah. That's so cool. That's great. And Dan?
And then I take over as the Commissioner Beetlejuice.
Oh, fantastic.
For the entire thing.
That's great.
So, yeah, we've got a Jason, a Mike Myers. We've got a Patrick Bateman.
Nice.
So
is he doing the axe with the...
With the poncho?
Yes.
Dance
around with Huey Lewis?
Yep, he comes out to Huey Lewis.
Very cool.
So I watched Halloween for the first time.
Really?
Week. Yeah.
The original?
Yeah, the original.
Okay. 1978.
The first one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, because there's been so much for the new one.
Right.
Yes.
Like,
huge reaction, yeah.
It's the biggest opening weekend ever for a movie with a lead actress over 55 years old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, $77 million. Yeah, take that, Meryl. Exactly. $10 million
you leave
budget,
Meryl
too.
Alone. She is a saint.
Yeah, but she couldn't fight Michael Myers the way Jamie Lee did.
It's
great.
It scared the bejesus out of me.
It still works, right? It's a good movie.
I'm not a horror person. I hate being scared. Mm-hmm. I hate it. Beyond anything, I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm the person, like, when my husband's away, I lock every door. I put furniture in front of the door. I lock my bedroom door. My dogs are on the bed.
you're perpetually ready for a straw dog scenario.
Yeah. All right. Oh, absolutely. But I really liked it. I was really impressed with how it was filmed. It was just so, like, really pretty for lack of another word.
Sure.
Well, the director was John Carpenter, and that had something to do with
it. So, I think it was his second movie.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. I mean...
And so John was not about the jump scares. He really was about creeping you out.
Atmosphere.
Oh my God! The worst one is when he's like in that in the cupboard and he
it just
comes
like
out from
emerges.
The black.
Yes.
And it's like
so he does it so slowly.
It's
it
so
was
great.
Awful. Yeah. Oh my God! I was like dying inside a little bit.
You kind of make me want to watch it again right now.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's so good.
Well,
we're
doing some horror. As long as they're not real jump scares or something that's going to terrify me, we're going through. Like the old ones that I didn't watch.
Okay,
cool.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street is completely out because I have trouble sleeping enough as it is. I know what
really?
I know exactly what it's about.
And that one's a lot.
He's
of
one of my favorite
and...
villains too.
Oh, that's yeah, the...
that's also his least jokey one.
Yes,
his least charismatic
that's
one.
That's true.
That one is more of a Yeah. Monster.
What one? So there's one that we're going to watch that's supposed to be really funny, but it was like an evil Santa. But there was like the first film
Santa
was like
Slay.
No, I don't know. I can't remember what it was. But there was like a one. There was a first movie about like Santa being evil, and then there was a follow-on movie, which was just terrible. And I can't for the life of me remember.
And they're older movies. Are they
all like 80s?
Yeah, you're focusing on like 70s, 80s? Yeah. I can't think of that one. Yeah. Not the one with the dude who just wears a Santa suit, right?
I don't know.
There's
it might
a
be.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. It's yes. Like, is it that one?
No, okay.
That's like the original. That actually predates Halloween.
Really?
As like the original slasher movie tied to a holiday. Mm. And it's about a dude, but he's not like a big Santa guy, but he does wear a Santa suit and he's going around killing girls.
That one. Yeah. But we're not watching that one. We're watching number 2.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be one of the worst films, like
they're pretty
ever
bad.
So hence more entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I love when horror films just say "F it."
Yes,
with their sequels like House 2.
Yes, right.
Or Gremlins 2.
I forget. Just like, we're just going to go off the wall on this one.
Yeah,
but I like it. So you know, we actually watched what's it called? Final Destination. Final Destination
right.
4 or 5. I can't remember. No, it's 3 or 4. Hi, Fed.
I mean, there he is. Hey, look at this.
Strutting in.
Look at this guy all sweaty. Let me get him a water.
Hi,
from a
distance.
Couple things. Jack the Ripper is England's equivalent of the Puerto Rican chupacabra, except there's actual bodies.
I was going to say, Jack the Ripper's real.
It's not real.
Jack
it's a
the
bunch,
Ripper was real.
No, the bodies are real. But
the killer was also real. They
we
didn't
don't know
nobody
that.
Knows who the killer is. Clara, all you investigators there just fumbled it because they didn't have their little Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass. It's a bunch of copycat.
He's just been sitting on this rant for 2 weeks.
2 whole weeks.
It's a bunch of copycat
the second he gets
murderers.
In here.
Here's the thing.
What do you guys talk about? I don't care. Jack the Ripper.
He also cleared out all these 40, 50-year-old hookers.
Right.
Toots, like I like to call them.
Toots.
Toots. Toots. Where does toots come from?
Prostitutes.
Oh.
Toots.
You know, whore, whatever, but no, toots.
No, toots. I like the toots.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, like, storm in.
No, it's great.
Do you mind if I have one of these?
We've been holding back.
Dude. So what's going on? Happy Raul
Julia Memorial Day.
We were talking about Halloween movies. She saw the original Halloween for the first time.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. I liked it very much.
Did you watch Rob Zombie? Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
I can't even talk. Hold on, let me get
Rob Zombie did, he did remakes in the, 10 years ago, maybe now
already?
10
years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That one's so good.
Wait, the Halloween's afterwards.
Like what was that?
Wait, the sequels to Halloween.
No, he actually remake. Did. There are many sequels, but then he ended up doing a straight up remake of the first one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why would you bother to do that?
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Why?
That's a pertinent question to ask.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. That's all you need to know.
That's a fun one. There's
it's
no Michael
so much
Myers
fun.
In it.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird, but it's actually a really good standalone movie.
This isn't the one where they like replace one of the main characters to be female, and it's like, yay, female empowerment.
No,
okay, it's just a completely different story.
No, actually, it's the opposite of female empowerment. The lead actor is this dude who's like a gnarly looking guy, but yet every woman in the movie wants to sleep with him. Yeah. Can't not sleep with
him. Oh my god, why does everyone want to have sex in all of these horror movies?
Because it's the 80s.
But they're the bad people. So the people who have sex are always the ones who get killed.
Oh, okay, I have an answer for that. Because horror movies, like going all the way back to morality plays, they're just morality plays, right? So in your horror film, especially in the 70s and 80s, all the people who are doing the bad things, the promiscuous activities, those are the ones who get killed, which is why in Halloween, spoiler alert, Jamie Lee Curtis, she's like the innocent girl of the bunch, and she's the one who lives. She's the final girl, whereas all the other ones who are hooking up, they
all
die. All
these toots.
It's all...
They're not toots because they're having sex.
All these toots.
Toots get paid. They're luts.
Living in sin.
Right. With
they're
a
not
safety
living
bin.
In
So, yes,
it's
Father Michael Myers goes out there.
Right.
So it's a morality play, which is why the evil is getting punished by more evil. It's silly, yes.
And
but,
cocaine. A lot of cocaine.
Cocaine
in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
That. I miss you guys so much.
Seriously. Oh, yeah.
I did,
man. We keep going off schedules.
It's stupid hurricanes,
you keep having to defend the line.
Shh. Tired. Right. Tired of it.
So
yeah, that's right. How did it go with the hurricane?
It was there's no longer a Mexico beach, apparently.
Yeah, no. Disappeared.
Really? It's out. They did the old reset button on that place.
Who needs a beach?
Yeah, who needs a wooden beach house? Welcome to 21st century, everybody.
The Robinson Crusoe special. Everyone got.
Yeah, it's devastating over there, but enough with the happy talk.
Right.
Everybody decided what you're going to be for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going to be Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's because Dan's paying me to be her. So.
For the wrestling. I just want to point that out. For the wrestling.
Who's going to be Jack?
We don't have a Jack.
You don't have it.
We were trying to convince my Jack to be Jack Skellington, but
he won't do it.
No,
he don't want to risk that grumpy WWE money.
Oh, he's holding out.
You know, he could be making a whole $100.
When is this? Is that this week?
Wait, you're
this
paying weekend. Him more than me?
No, Pedro. It's last weekend.
This weekend. Last week. I'm sorry. That's last weekend.
That was
last
weekend. They already told us about the image. She did this incredible triple back salt. She
told what?
Us about. Yeah, it was crazy.
I know. It was cray cray.
Landed on her feet.
Right. It's cray cray. You're learning too much American
Can
English.
Can I not say cray cray?
No.
Oh.
Right. Do we have Pat? Does the Lima family can get on the DeLorean and go to the... Is that possible?
That's not my convention. We're contracted out.
Well, I needed to know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Buffy's at Louisville, but like the original Buffy.
Yeah.
Why can I have a match with
she's
her?
She's not at Louisville. She's at Raleigh.
Michelle Geller?
Okay.
Michelle Geller's going to wrestle?
No, Swanson. Christy Swanson.
Christy Swanson's going to wrestle?
She's not wrestle. She's just a guest
Please
at the convention.
Please make her wrestle me.
She would. She's crazy.
I will be Drusilla.
She makes her own wooden
don't
stakes
even,
in
don't
her
Don't even let her know.
Christy
just
Swanson?
Start.
She makes. Just start. She sells wooden stakes at the convention sign, and she makes them at home in her garage.
Good for her.
Wait, made, how are you allowed awesome. To sell a deadly weapon?
Because she's famous.
Because she's Christy effing Swanson.
Oh my God, please don't let anyone
just like,
stab me.
I love her.
CJ Graham, who played Jason, he sells signed machetes.
No, he. You yeah. can't do that.
They're tied yeah, up in everything.
America machete. Sucks. You can buy a machete at a convention.
They're sheathed
you
and
can
all tied
sell
up,
Jack
yeah.
the Ripper
but you can
little,
untie them,
pocket watches.
Not
feel free.
At the show. At yeah. the,
nobody's
yeah,
going to
yeah.
stop you.
Yeah, no one's going to stop me with a pocket watch either.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys are crazy. Oh,
we are crazy.
Americans but. Crazy.
Yes. So it is Raul Julia Memorial Day.
Felicidades, everybody.
Yes. Greatest actor of all time.
All time.
We celebrate
oh, is that
him.
What that was all about?
Yes.
I was so confused.
We this is
oh,
one thing.
The group text?
Yeah, yes. I was just getting like links to.
This is
like,
one thing that me and Dan unite on.
Was he the, it was he Gomez?
Yes, he
okay,
was.
Right. That's the yes. only way I know who that is because I watch
Most
the Addams
people.
Family.
Yes. I come from justice. Denied.
I don't understand.
You never seen the Addams Family?
Oh, yeah. Is yes. that Adam's Family quote?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Part two. The second
Part
one.
Two.
I like the second one.
Yeah, it's one.
One
of the most famous quotes from one of those famous movies. I mean, it's pretty random. Don't expect yes. it. Oh. It was random.
No,
okay.
You seem so lost. It's like,
yeah. Oh, like, boy, I watched that movie. Like, I actually sent like somebody a Wednesday Adam when she's like burning down the thing. Mm-hmm. I sent them like that gif the other day and I was just like, yeah, I was that child.
Wednesday
I wanted
was
to
great.
Burn down
You actually
the,
look, you could do a Wednesday character. I'm
yes.
Some sort.
Doesn't Leva do Wednesday?
Can it be Pugsley?
Every oh, you're already have a Wednesday okay
I can
well we
Pugsley.
Don't have any Adams characters except for Gomez who was on commentary mm. we have a Gomez on commentary
you know everyone always says that me and Jack should dress up as Gomez and Morticia
why not
for Halloween
he's got to do a little bit of dye and he'd be fine
and I'm yeah. taller than him
I know he'll be
is that gingering real or is that by
oh yeah that'll by... be in my kids
oh yeah
yep
It's a recessive gene, are you sure?
You have little vampire
my
babies
mother,
that can be around the
my
sun.
My mother has bright red hair.
Okay, so it's already in the family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
he's convinced
done.
That I'm a secret ginger.
You're going to have
like,
Chucky's from Rugrats.
I know, but I want like the nice gingers, like the pretty gingers. I don't want the yeah. one... like
Oh, like the Jessica Chastain gingers?
Really, I don't know who that
the
is.
You're going to have the gingers
the
with
Amy
no, the
Adams
people,
gingers?
What's her name? The
Amy
Pixar
Adams?
Chick.
Oh, yeah.
From Brave?
The Brave Girl. Yeah, you got a bunch of little Brave Girls.
Brave Girls with the hair.
Oh, I like that.
Marina?
Yeah, a little bit of Marina's. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the girl who's, she plays,
Moana.
Catherine, or...
Sarah Jones.
It's not Catherine. Daredevil. What's her name?
Karen
Page.
Yeah, she plays Karen Page.
Yeah.
So, like, she's naturally True Blood chick. True Blood chick. Yeah. Jessica from True Blood.
Yes.
I think she is the most gorgeous, like, woman on the planet. I think
Denied. If we're going with gorgeous redheads, Christina Hendricks is your starting point. Christina Hendricks is your starting point.
I'm sticking with my original Jessica Chastain.
I'll go with you.
We have consensus over here on the Puerto Rican side of the table.
Wait, we forgot about Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, wait. Let me take that back. I'm going to take that back. Jessica Rabbit did make some movement.
Yes, she did.
To every young boy and young adult and maybe some grandparents.
I'm sure.
Because that movie really, I think that was the start of anime porn right there. Because everybody's like, yo.
I was just on another show where we're talking about cool. I think we're talking about Cool World and animated
Hollywood
stuff too. And Kim Basinger. It's like the exact same thing though.
But that came after Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah,
but I'm saying
after.
It's the same weird thing.
I'm just trying.
It was like the last of Bakshi's really big.
Excuse the pun, but we seem to be going down a rabbit hole.
We are. We shall pull out, as in the great words of Raoul, what's behind me is not important.
Jokes. I missed that mix. I'm going to find that mix.
Yeah, God, it was so good.
So, salute to La Cueva del Chicken. Mm-hmm. The pizza will be half-mast as we celebrate Raoul Julia. Let's celebrate Raoul Julia month.
Yeah, why not?
On November.
Hey, give it all. We'll kick it off now. It goes to November, Raoul Julia.
Raoul Julia month. Boop, boop. All right, what are we yapping about today? What's up?
The Great War.
Which one?
The Great War.
The one?
The World War One. The First World War.
The War of All Wars.
The War to End All Wars.
Oh, man.
There's no more wars after that war.
There's no more wars after this.
Everything else is just a reboot.
And I would say, and many historians agree with me, is that it is the most impactful war of the 20th century. I know everybody likes to shift to World War II.
No.
Because in America, we have so many movies. It was sexier. We have a main villain in World War II.
We got a couple.
Nazis are easy to root against.
Don't we have a couple? Media coverage of the second
We have a couple
war.
Oh, you've got a couple of villains in World War II. Yeah. You've got some main
That's like
guys.
The Avengers of the war.
So you're saying there's like more news footage coming out of World War II?
World War II, they had cameras, you know, filming stuff. It was a lot more easier for people
Vietnam was like the first televised war, they say. So that's how kind of American sentiment changed on war
because of TV. Still talk about that?
Like, we talk about it.
So we drag Vietnam.
My grandfather won't.
I mean, we'll get to Nam eventually. At this rate, it'll be like in 6 months.
Because we're still talking about Vietnam because we are still in the debate of whether or not we lost the war or we strategically withdrew.
Okay, I believe.
I've got an opinion on that one.
I believe if sure you ask the American white men, they won.
They won the war.
If you ask
everyone else,
everybody else, it's a draw.
No. Vietnam.
It depends. Like, we got
Vietnam undefeated.
Whoever didn't go to the war, they're quickly to be like, we lost.
No.
So this war is so impactful.
What happened? Tell me.
It shapes the 20th century. Shapes the 20th century completely.
Okay.
This war, compared to all the others, you know, there's going to be wars that have had more casualties, like World War One.
Okay.
Or like the An Lushan Rebellion in Tang China in the 700s.
Okay.
But this war broke a generation, shattered empires, and redefined what the world was going to be.
I believe because of this war, if I'm not mistaken, this is why Puerto Ricans got American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 1917. The one reason because
they needed people.
America at that point, spoiler alert, had just decided to get in, but they didn't have mobilized forces ready, and they needed to throw bodies, literally just throw bodies at the effort. So like, hey, Puerto Ricans, you're citizens. Okay, now go to war.
Citizens.
Go to war.
Now
you're all going
retroactive to
war.
Retroactive to 1901 or whatever it was.
So they get more adults.
So they can get
young
adults.
Your country's familiar with that promise now, aren't you?
I don't think I don't think we need to talk about India.
We're going to talk about India. This is World
Gandhi's
War One.
A saint.
We don't need to talk
Unless
about India
Unless you ask
today.
Miss St. Clair, she says that Gandhi is he wasn't that nice of a
he
gentleman.
He was a naughty man. Naughty.
But we'll get to that. When
so
we
don't need to talk. We don't need to talk about India or North Africa or Australia.
Argentina.
Or Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to England, we can just avoid all of that in World War One.
Right. That's how I pronounce it. That's not a cuss word.
Inja. Don't talk about Inja.
Okay, so what kicked off this war? What happened then?
Man.
A lot of things?
So we are at this... Europe is at a powder keg at this point. It really is. Mm. And it's because by 1900, there are no more other countries to conquer for the Europeans. They had been playing nice with each other for about 20 or 30 years because they all agreed. They sat down in Berlin in the 1880s and said, hey, let's just go kill Africans and Asians. Let's not fight about it.
Out of sport?
And build our empires. They would carve up these continents.
Okay.
And so, so they had this, what was called the Congo Conference in 1888. And Otto von Bismarck, the German chancellor at the time, was like...
Sounds such an evil name.
Right? Otto von Bismarck. He is every white historian's favorite diplomat.
I bet you he got like a red beard mustache. Probably has that safari hat
kind of thing. No, he's got the pointed German hat.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the big old mustache. Yeah.
Mustache. Big Von Bismarck.
Big sullen, sunken eyes there. Yeah. And so what he does is they come to this meeting. They have sandwiches. And there's this huge map of Africa. And they just rope off what each country is going to go take.
Now, Dan, were there any African citizens at the conference making any kind of decision?
Yeah.
I mean, someone had to serve the drinks.
Was there? It's historical.
As they would say in those times, obviously.
Right. No, there were no Africans who were available for comment during that conference. And so they divided up and they said, listen, France, this is your territory. You'd get Western Africa and the Sahara and Algeria. And no other European country will try and conquer it. It is yours to conquer on your own. Good luck, buddy. And they go and do that. You know, Belgium, you get the Congo. And the Germans did a good job of making everyone happy, and they only took a little bit of themselves. And all of Europe was like, hey, good job, Germany. You're such an honest person for not taking it all for yourself.
Germany was so cool before the early 1900s. They were so cool.
They were. They were the peacemakers.
Driving around with a Volkswagen, old cocky.
Mm-hmm. They were the peacemakers. They were really trying to do... The only other people who weren't invited to the...
Africans.
Were Russians as well.
Oh, Russians,
They didn't get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, they were, as we know, Russians, they don't make good decisions.
Please
refer back to the Fall of the Romanovs episode for examples of Russian decisions.
We are going to cut over that, actually.
Yes.
It does overlap.
So they didn't get a piece of the pie. England.
Yay! Did nothing wrong and everyone was happy. And Africa welcomed us with open arms.
England
and
got
flowers.
A small piece called the entire Nile River.
Ooh. Okay.
Lake Victoria. South Africa. They just had to clear off the white people that were living there already.
In South Africa?
Dutch, known as the Boers. They had been there for 300 years.
Oh, I was about to say. I thought the Dutch were down
It was a
there.
Group of Dutch settlers, and the English just decided that they should be the ones to control South Africa.
That's because they were the bad white people, and we came Dutch? In and liberated. No, I'm just... I can't even know. We're really
You're going to get so much hate mail.
I know, right? I definitely didn't mean that.
And the English were allowed to liberate Egypt from the Ottoman Empire.
You're welcome, Egypt.
Because obviously, dedicated white people should be the ones controlling the Suez Canal.
Mm-hmm.
They built it, after all.
Of course.
So it should go to the... Now, that is going to be the most important part of this whole picture. The Suez Canal for the British is the
Don't
life...
Don't you try and blame us for all of this.
That
all this is going down, and the United States is just chilling... Back there, just segregating.
We've got Indians to kill.
Oh, yeah. We got buffaloes to stack
right
up.
We're busy killing
buffaloes
right
and Indians.
Actually, at the time that this Congo conference is being all said and done, we have just wiped out Crazy Horse and the last of the Native American resistance.
That's Teddy Roosevelt, right?
No. This is before Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, okay.
This is before Roosevelt.
Said Roosevelt killed buffaloes and stuff like that, like stacked them up.
He killed a few, but you're talking about by that time, you know, Buffalo Bill had already been around.
Wait, wasn't Roosevelt
like
a big liar and like lied about his accomplishments?
He embellished on where he came from. Yeah, he did the whole outdoorsman thing, but he was born to upper class New Yorkers.
Oh.
Yeah, he bought all
history
his stuff.
Repeats itself.
Yeah.
All outdoorsman stuff didn't happen until his
20s. Yes. you'll see those early pictures of Roosevelt all in his like Davy Crockett attire, and he's got this big old hunting knife. It's a knife that he bought at Tiffany's.
Shut up! Nobody called him out on that.
Nope.
It's talk good, the talk. It was good quality.
You walk the walk.
Did somebody signed it?
I mean, he did. He did also go to like
Tiffany signed a knife.
Here you go, Teddy.
He did also go to Montana,
right? But there's two very important. There's three very important things in Britain's arsenal of world domination: the Suez Canal,
Suez,
Gibraltar, the rock. Which is this little the little piece of Spain that connects to the Mediterranean, and India.
India
is the heart. It is the crown jewel on the queen is what they call it. The crown jewel of the empire. It is the most important.
Yes.
So by this time, 1900, England controls about 25% of the world.
You're welcome.
Most of Africa, Hong Kong, and pieces of the Chinese coast, Australia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh.
Wow.
They have controlling parts in Afghanistan and Iran.
Wow.
Canada.
Wow.
Jamaica.
Wow, you guys lost a lot.
We were awesome. No, we liberated a lot.
Yeah.
We did.
It sounds like you guys went to Atlantic City and lost everything. Because right now, you guys are like, just like, hey, we're out of breath. We don't even want anything to do with Europe.
But they became part of the Commonwealth later. And that was us giving...
Trinidad, Tobago, Jamaica.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
Yeah. The Bahamas. I mean, there was a bunch. The Virgin Islands. There's just, I mean, I guess the list goes on. They were in control of everything.
Wow.
Now, and then second place was the French.
Okay.
You know, they had controlled West Africa. They have Indochina, as they called it. A little place called Vietnam. It might be important later on.
Okay.
The
Russians don't have a little taste.
The Russians try.
Russians have a massive country. They have enough to worry about.
They've got
but half of it is frozen.
Exactly. Yeah. They want a little bit of colony themselves. So they, in 1905, we're
getting
a little sidetrack here. They decide, well, it's so easy to beat up on these foreigners. Mm-hmm. We're going to go beat up on these foreigners. But the problem is we're going to go down to Korea and we're going to take the ports. And we're going to fight any of these lesser Asian people who think they can stop us.
Yeah.
So they pick a fight with the one group the one group out of all of the entire world, the one non-white group that fully industrialized and militarized, the Japanese.
The Japanese kicked the Russians' ass.
Everyone in Southeast Asia, they picked Japan?
They picked Japan. The only
Philippines are sitting there. Korea's sitting there.
The samurais are gone by now.
Oh, they're gone? We
talked about that with the Meiji Restoration. Samurais are gone.
Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about a model
They've
army
been mowed down
that
by,
copied the German
guns.
Model that has like French artillery tactics.
And guys that don't give a crap and don't crash a plane on
And
you.
Don't believe in surrender.
Tom Cruise is dead.
Yeah. This was the last Romanov emperor that we learned about the other day, Nicholas II, who...
he's the one that decided
he's
this?
He's the one who did this. Whoopsie!
He's like, yo, that fully industrialized country.
We're gonna go after Japan. Okay.
They were feeling confident because the Russians had just started industrializing 3 years ago. So, and the Japanese had been doing it for about 50 years.
That's funny. Okay.
So yeah, and they suffered a huge defeat.
So now they're mad.
They don't get a little piece of the pie. Mm. Okay. They don't have a world to conquer them. Everything. Peace is relatively established for a while.
Okay.
And a couple of things are breaking down, though. For one, the old monarchs are dying off. The first one is going to be Kaiser Wilhelm I, the Emperor of Germany at this time, Kaiser Germany. He dies, and his young son, William II, takes over.
Ugh, what a horrible name.
Wilhelm.
Why don't you say Wilhelm?
Wilhelm II.
Yeah, that sounds more German.
Wilhelm II.
Yeah.
Kaiser Wilhelm II von Hohenzollern.
It's getting more and more German every time you hear
it. I like it. Von Hohenzollern. Now it sounds
like it's becoming more and more Indiana Jones German.
Is it that black suit German?
No, we're not at that part yet.
Sorry.
Still pointed hat with lots of bells.
Sounded so much sexier the way she described it.
Right? Those Germans don't show up yet.
Yeah, not for a while. They'll never do.
So he is very ambitious. You have this guy who doesn't like to share power, so he fires Otto von Bismarck.
Okay.
Considered one of the greatest diplomatic minds at the time.
Oh, so he wasn't that half bad.
No. He's a really good diplomat. Just not if, you know.
Told you, Germany was really cool until they won. That's the best way to describe them.
So now this guy's in charge.
Wilhelm showed up.
Believes he needs to prove himself by getting a couple more German territories into the empire. And he does this, what's called his place in the sun speech, and talking about how Germany must look for their place in the sun and must bask in its glory.
They go for France.
They don't go for France.
That would be stupid.
Riviera Beach. Yeah. I figure that's what he wanted.
So that's going on in Germany right now.
Okay.
Another thing that happens in 1901 is that Queen Victoria dies.
Oh no.
Really sad.
And everyone's sad.
Wait, is this the American
Mick? Mick! Oh, just want to play Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Queen Victoria was everyone's grandma. And so nobody was going to fight because they didn't want to get the wrath of grandma.
Okay.
She was everyone's grandma.
Like, legit, like, the Tsarist of Russia was her granddaughter, like...
Kaiser like Wilhelm was a grandson.
Yeah, in Europe, everyone was
Wilhelm was a grandson.
Her.
George V was a grandson, obviously.
Everybody was her grandson,
everyone was
much.
A grandson. Even, like, Maud of Norway. Like, you're
baby-making machine.
Yeah. Her and Prince Albert just popped him out.
Okay.
All 70 years of her reign. So...
God, now, female monarchs in England do reign a very
forever.
Long time. Something to be said in there, isn't there, lads?
two Elizabeths and one Victoria. That's their, like, you're looking at almost a 200-year rule.
It's all that bad food they eat. It just keeps them staying, keeps them living fresh. Forever. Yeah.
Well, if you ask Elizabeth the First, it's all that virginity. Keeps you...
Yeah.
Right?
Keeps her angry.
Virginity.
I'm sure we'll get onto the Tudors at some point.
Yeah, maybe. So grandma's dead.
Grandma died.
Grandma died.
Where's grandpa?
Grandpa's been dead.
Yeah. All right, so who
takes now
over?
In charge is King George V.
Oh, the stuttering dude.
No.
Not that one.
That's his dad.
That's his dad.
This is the dad.
It's okay. Colin Firth.
The one who looks disapprovingly at Colin Firth all the time. Or the one who gets very excited at shopping at Selfridges if you watch the Jeremy Piven show. So it's just a bunch of that going on. So we have new monarchs. All of them want to kind of prove their worth a little bit too. They're a little bit more uppity. And then you have the French.
Okay.
Who are in their third republic now. They just had a revolution. Again, another socialist revolution, turned monarchy, turned socialist revolution. Now they're in a republic.
Is this that scene from Les Miserables with the red flag?
No, that was about 70 years ago. This is another one of those. This is yet another one of these types of things going on. The Russians, they're a mess, as we talked about.
Do you hear the...
The Italians are the Italians. They are very angry because they were promised land in Africa, and they only got some of it. They only got some of it because they lost to Ethiopia 3 times.
Yeah.
Which wasn't anyone's fault but the Italians. But, you know.
It's...
Italians will blame other people.
It's not our fault, day.
You know, it's...
It was a hot day.
You tell me to get the guy, I got the guy. It was the wrong guy. It's not my fault. You tell me wrong
you
guy.
You said I'm okay, Spider.
Yeah.
Italians are that friend who is like...
Are you trying to get all the hate mail from all the countries?
Bring it, Italian. Italian.
Bring it.
But they are. They're like the best friend of the most popular kid at the time. Oh. You know the ones that go like from kid to kid? That's what Italy
they're
like.
The bullies, Bruno, and they're like, what are we going to do today, Bruno? What are we going to do?
Yeah. They're just, war is not their thing anymore. Hasn't been for a while. Roman Empire is long gone.
Okay.
What happens is basically... some nationalism starts to rise.
In Italy?
In all of Europe.
All of Europe.
All of
everybody.
Europe, a little bit more, nationalism. It turns to what's called jingoism. Nationalism is, my country's the best, and if you say so otherwise, I'm going to fight you for it.
Ooh, history repeats
itself. That sounds so familiar. Ooh. Where have I heard that?
And it quickly turns into jingoism, which is, my country's the best, and I'm going to fight you anyway. Just so I can tell you. And anything you say is going to offend me. Jingoism really ramps it up. It's a very dangerous form.
But jingoism sounds so much
cooler
than...
I know, it sounds nice.
Right?
They call it jingoism.
Nationalism sounds more like, I'm a nationalist.
Right. Jingoism is called jingoism because, again, that's because people start making songs about pride, and that's why it's called jingoism, because they start little poems and little sayings to hurrah the crowd and get going.
Be an American where at least I know I'm free. That kind of shit.
That kind of stuff, yeah. Oh, God.
Remember that song?
Or the
you weren't here 9/11, right?
These
they
colors don't
that
run.
Song. Oh,
that
God.
Kind of stuff. These colors don't run or respect. All that kind of stuff. Jingoism. It's very scary. If you don't like America, you can get out. That kind of stuff.
The good old USA.
All right.
Okay, go back.
So here we go. Europe had been kind of at peace for a while because the number one goal after the Napoleonic Wars was never give France an ally.
Why?
Because France is the most populous and the wealthiest country. It is. Up until Great Britain's Industrial Revolution, it was. And even still, at the point, more people were living in France than anywhere else. It was, other than Russia, the place to be. France with an ally, that's a dangerous situation. Okay. So the idea is always
so nobody trusted the French.
No. Keep France. Especially with all those revolutions, you never know which government you're going to get.
Stupid croissants.
That's why I get all like the great writers of like the 19th century. They all were like in Paris around this time, just being in Paris.
Bohemians.
Like, it was awesome.
Right.
I mean, you don't have Hemingway like quite yet. I think Hemingway is like 10 or 20 years off being in Paris. Yeah. But
So you get the idea was keep the French without an ally.
Okay.
And the way to do that was the Austrians, the Russians, and the Germans had this strong triple alliance. And had been so since the Napoleonic Wars. But then Wilhelm II comes in. And it's time to renew the Russian alliance. And he thinks the Russians are just asking for a little bit too much. And you know what? He shouldn't go to the Russians because he's German. And he's awesome. And he knows how to make a deal. Nobody makes a deal better than Kaiser Wilhelm II.
Yes.
They're going to come to us. I'm not going to come to him. So you know what, Russia? I'm not coming to you. You can come to me to renew this deal.
Oh, no.
I know the art of the deal. I'm very smart.
Yeah.
I'm very German.
I know the big words.
I am just so German. Yeah. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Me and Austria, we'll wait for you to...
I got the best German words.
That's the best German words. Like Scheiße.
Kill him.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, Germany says that to Russia. Russia's like, cool.
All right, we'll show up.
So they make an alliance with France. The Russians.
The Russians and France.
It's like, oh, so yeah, we'll just make an alliance with France. You know, France, that's that country on the other side of you, and now we're sandwiching you.
Yeah, big boy. You think you're a big man now, do you?
So whenever you want to come to Moscow and negotiate, well, listen.
So really, the war was Russian's fault.
Not Moscow, St. Petersburg at the time, excuse me. Right. So there's a little bit of a measuring contest going on here. At the same time, Germany's building their navy. Because they want to start getting their place sun. Now...
Yeah, you don't build a navy on a Great Britain's doorstep.
We
have the best navy. It's our thing. Everyone knows it's our thing.
And so Great Britain starts this propaganda machine that Germans are nothing but warmongers bent on world domination.
Ah.
Let that sink in for a second. The country that controls 25% of the world at this time...
It's agitating.
...is saying that Germany...
These guys are assholes!
I take it back. You're not going to be welcome in Britain after this. Nope.
I take all sides. I take all sides here.
Yeah. Good on both sides, right? America?
She's talking about that both sidesism.
America's still sleeping. They haven't even stepped into
the play yet. We're still chilling out. We got things to do. We're
still killing Indians and doing Thanksgiving.
We just elected Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, that guy with the wooden teeth.
Yeah. Close.
Exactly. That name sounds like somebody that would have wooden teeth. I know George
Woodrow. Woodrow is a great name.
Yeah.
Great name, lousy president.
Right.
Great name that no longer lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody named Woodrow.
Yeah, was that something that a Woody that wasn't an animated cowboy?
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to find someone called Woodrow
that I know. You're going to find a Woodrow?
I guarantee you would find him in
Britain. Harrelson, Woody? A Woodrow.
It's got to be Woodrow Harrison. Right?
I would imagine a Woodrow.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There Woodrow Harrison.
But again, he's also like, what, pushing 60?
Watch his name be Brian and he got the name Woody because he worked like at a carpenter plant.
Or he liked Woody Woodpecker when he was a kid.
Yeah, I'm going with that name.
Yeah.
So is it now that we ally and become the Triple Entente?
Not yet.
Oh, no. I gave away the ending. My bad.
Okay, so the British are mad that the Germans are making boats. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what happens is there's going to be a little bit of a problem between Austria and Germany. Or not, I'm sorry, Austria and Russia.
Okay. What's the problem?
They both are fighting over this area known as the Balkans.
Okay.
Which is Yugoslavia, or former Yugoslavia, Croatia, Albania, the places above Greece that nobody visits.
Hungary.
Yeah.
But don't they have a rather substantial amount of
resources?
Natural resources.
They do, and that's part of the resource game here.
Catan.
There was a war already for... Now, the Balkans themselves, they want to be independent. And they just fought a war against Russia or Austria called the Balkan War. It was really recent.
Who won?
The Balkans did.
Okay.
And everyone got freed except for Bosnia.
Okay.
And so the Kosovo, the Montenegrins,
that's all Yugoslavia, right?
That's all what will be Yugoslavia. That was their dream, to be Yugoslavia, which meant a united Slavia, united Southern Slavia. Their dream was to make Yugoslavia. Now, they are ethnically Slavs, and so are the Russians. Mm-hmm. And the Russians consider themselves the protectors of all Slavic people. So there's a contention between them and the Austrians because Austria won't let go of Bosnia. So that's this one little...
Clingy ex-girlfriend syndrome.
Why are they holding on to Bosnia? Resources?
Because they can. Okay. And resources there, but also...
What resources is there?
What resources? Probably, at this time, iron.
Iron? Okay.
Yeah. Which is why the French hate the Germans, because after that recent Franco-Prussian war we talked about, the Germans took the Saar Valley and the Alsace and Lorraine territory from France, which they want back. And that's farming, that's iron, that's a lot of good stuff there, too. So, in reaction to the Russians making a deal with France, then the Germans and the Austrians, they formed together with Italy and create the Triple Alliance. Saying, okay.
I need a pen and a pencil. And I need a... because there's a lot of players involved in this.
There's a lot of players.
So when I learned this in school, we got like different colors. So you had to like color the map of who was aligned with who, because it was so confusing. Because it completely changes in like, you know, further on down the line.
It's also a world war.
But that's where all of like all of the, you know,
everybody's fighting everybody has. Everybody's going for position and stuff like that, and I'm waiting for the Asians to crack this nut, because I know that the there's the Korean and the Korean war, right? It's part
the
of
Japanese
war
are
no?
just itching no right
Sino-Japanese war.
Sino-Japanese war.
Excuse me Sino-Japanese. I've already seen it written down.
It will be soon. The Japanese are just itching for more territory in the Pacific, but they don't want to disrupt the British.
Okay.
Because we have an alliance with Japan at this... Do we have an alliance with Japan at this time? We're best friends.
Right.
By force, right?
No.
No?
And the Germans at the time were aligned with Britain for a little bit because of blood, but Victoria's dead and now things are changing. Oof. So the Germans, the Austrians, and the Italians make the Triple Alliance, saying anyone who attacks one of us, we're all going to jump in. So this is what's going to happen. Well, the French and the Russians realize that they need an ally, so they join up with the British.
Because any sane person would, because we're awesome.
And controlling a quarter of the world at a time as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the business.
Pretty strategic, yeah. I mean, it's a good time to sound versus decision.
And Russia really doesn't have a navy.
They don't particularly need one.
Right. So they form, like Rebecca said, the Triple Entente, right? So there we go.
That's always my favorite, like the Triple Entente.
Entente. Which is French for the Triple Alliance.
For our more American listeners.
Right. Yeah, which is the Triple Alliance and the Triple Alliance. In France.
When you say it, it sounds like that Andy Kaufman Clifton guy saying,
Entente.
Tony Clifton. Tony Clifton. It sounds like Tony Clifton saying it. The Triple Entente.
It's a lot of jowl movement when you say that.
So the idea was these super blocks would prevent a world war because nobody would be stupid enough to start a war.
Kind of like the current
these dominoes.
Kind of like the nuclear war. Nuclear
this
weapons.
Whole thing will make you poop your pants about this current climate. Yeah. Make you poop your pants.
Mutually sure destruction.
Yes. Who flips that domino?
The problem is with all of this is that the British understand mutually assured destruction. The French government, the Austrians, the Italians, the Germans, and the Russians all understand this. People who are not part of the alliance, though, don't give a shit. Like a group of Serbian rebels who just want Bosnia back. And they don't care about alliances. And so this small little terrorist group called the Black Hand.
Ooh, that sounds super sexy.
Right? The Black
They're
Hand.
They're not sexy.
Isn't that the name of the bad guys in the Daredevil series?
That's the Hand. Just the Hand.
Oh, just the Hand.
Just the Hand. Just the Hand. This is now the Black Hand.
The Black Hand.
But I bet they were involved. They're involved in everything.
Yes. The Hand?
Everything.
So it's these group of college students, usually. College-age students or so.
Oh, snowflakes.
Yeah. And they find out the Emperor of Austria's heir to the throne, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, is touring Bosnia with his wife in July of 1914.
Oh.
This doesn't
Clara, sound you like want it. To take this?
Oh my God, this is my favorite part.
Yes.
Okay.
So, so the Black Hand finds out.
So Franz Ferdinand, he's traveling down the street. In an open top car, very chill, very
like Kennedy.
Yeah, very Kennedy. and the Black Hand, they throw a bomb. They're trying to assassinate.
Like the old school bomb, like the
pretty
the,
much,
like the yeah. pole with the wicker.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And their intention is to assassinate the heir apparent to the
Ferdinand.
Yeah. But they miss. And they hit the car behind him, which is full of a bunch of bodyguards. And everyone's very panicked. And they want to get Franz Ferdinand to safety. But instead of going to safety, Franz Ferdinand decides, hey, I'm fine. I'm just going to get back into my open top car.
I'm going
to keep mentioning this. And go to the hospital and make sure all the guys are okay. Now, unfortunately... whilst driving, his driver makes a wrong turn and just happens to come across one of the members of the Black Hand by sheer coincidence.
Wasn't that guy like eating a sandwich or something, or you went to like get lunch because it was depressed?
Are you serious?
It was Gustav Prinsnip.
It was like the most random.
It was just the worst luck.
So goodness. This guy has his strudel. And he just sees his
he Ferdinand. Sees the person he that the he tried to assassinate. Open top. He
Are you
pulls
serious?
Out, yeah, he pulls out his pistol, shoots him in the head.
That's crazy.
Wow.
It's such a crazy story.
Wow. And this is the I always like it like called the spark. Because it's not particularly this event. It's just. Oh, it's the spark that blows everything up. Now, interestingly, Franz Ferdinand was... For his time, he was quite a socialist person. So some historians argue that he might actually have been one of the few people that could have diffused the situation
of course,
that Europe
he's
was
dead.
In. Well, yeah, but he was also taking over the part of
Captain
Europe that
right.
was making, you know, the most trouble at the time.
Yeah. It was the same thing with Maximilian. Remember when he got caught by Mexicans and the Europeans wanted him over because he was going to be so progressive, but yeah.
So this happened. There's a big spark. Now, something that also happens is Russia. Russia sucks. But basically, Russia's really bad at war, and they see the writing on the wall after he's assassinated. So Russia kind of jumps the gun a bit and starts mobilizing its army before everybody else.
Yep.
No one's declared war, but Russia takes a very long time to do anything. So they
we
start,
got this.
Yeah, Let's so Nicholas II's like, this is my time to shine. Mobilize the army. And it's like, Russia, for God's sake, just stop. Just stop. Let the grown-ups do this.
Now, just before this incident happened, the Austrian Duke had met with Wilhelm. And Wilhelm gave him a guarantee, which we call the blank check. Basically saying, look, no matter what, Germany will always support Austria. Okay. It's called the blank check, where you basically just sign the check and give it to someone and... You know, hopefully they use it responsibly and not empty out your entire bank account.
It never happens like that, though, does it? When have you ever given your kid, like, your credit card to go, right now, only spend $5, and they've come back and they go, I spent seven. Do you know what I mean? Like, it never
happens. My kid
happened.
Did that. Can I tell you that? I sent my kid wanted gum at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her $20, go get gum. She came back with, like, 5 packs of gum.
See?
And I'm like,
blank checks never mean the minimum.
Why'd you give her $20?
Because that's what I had at the time. I thought one thing of gum and come back with the change. She just saw 20. She goes, well, let me stack up for the month.
Yeah, expect fiscal responsibility from your child. Get out of here.
All right, so that Ricans. In mind, Austria tries to handle it civilly.
Austria. For some reason, I'm tired, and I heard Australia. Yeah. No. Like, Australia.
What's Australia got to do with this? Mate? Oh, you show
France. Like the kangaroos.
More, no kangaroos. Show France foot and under here.
Austria is going to try and handle it civilly.
Okay.
They want Kosovo to apologize. They want Serbia to apologize.
Oh.
Okay. And Serbia says, okay, we'll apologize. Then they say, well, we also want you to nationally apologize and give us the names of every member of the Black Hand that we know you're hiding in your country.
Okay.
And we want to go into your country and arrest them. Hmm. And Serbia says, no, that violates our sovereignty. We're not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
And so Austria invades Serbia.
Oh, okay.
And Russia declares war on Austria. And then Germany declares war on Russia. And then France declares war on Germany. And then Germany and Austria declare war on France. So the four powers are in.
So it's a cycle of wars right now.
It's war.
England and Italy are still out right now. We're out.
United States is still sleeping.
The United States right now is still doing its thing.
United it's States 19... is like isolationism. Yay,
yep, it's 1914.
We got
don't
two
care.
Oceans between us and everyone else. Yes.
Reservations. No, yeah.
They're sat there looking at this and being like, oh, money, money, money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Rockefeller's like, yes, go to war.
Well, we're busy right now. We're hanging out in the Texas border right now watching Pancho Villa shoot up Mexico. So that's kind of our entertainment.
We did that episode right already.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we're busy right now with Pancho Villa.
I love him.
Right.
He looks just like Antonio Banderas.
Right. It's for some reason. He's just amazing. So Russia and Austria are like, yo, Italy, it's time. And it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Excuse. You know,
Buonasera.
When I signed the document, the treaty, is a defensive treaty. You, the attacker, me no go in. Yeah. So Italy declares neutrality. He's like, no. I signed a defensive contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Not an aggressive
Which
contract.
Which makes sense.
So they're out.
I mean, it's logically it makes
they're
sense.
They're out. And the Germans and Austrians are like, what are we going to do? We need another guy just in case Britain jumps in. And they just happen to find a very, very old enemy of the Russians down south, the Turks.
Ah.
Bad Turks.
The Ottoman Empire
is back.
Dying. Literally dying for the last 100 years.
Work.
But it sees a chance to finally get some ports back from Russia. And maybe with the Germans' help, take Egypt and the Suez Canal back from Great Britain.
No, oh, that's odds. You can't have it.
Wow.
Right. So
finders keepers.
It's a new group in charge of Turkey right now called the CUP, the Young Turks. And they are all about Turkish nationalism and going to war.
The CUP, the cups?
The cups.
The cups.
The cups. Okay. Yeah. So the cup, the Turkish cup.
CUP, hey, C-U-P. You know me.
Who's down with CUP?
Not the Armenians.
Armenians never in anything.
Oh, they're getting genocided right now.
Yeah, they have like a massive genocide.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Armenia's been genocide since forever.
The Turkish genocide of the Armenians is going on as World War I
is going on. It's horrible. They just like put them out into the middle of a desert and just leave them to starve and die.
And deny it for the next century.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so to kind of cover that up, they're going to war. And they're going to use those Armenians as kind of a slave force to fuel their war machine.
Wait, you're saying crazy dictators did something crazy to cover up something else crazy they did? That sounds unbelievable.
So we're going to war today. Everyone's mobilizing. The only ones who haven't strapped up yet is Great Britain. And they're really trying not to enter this war.
We don't want to.
Why? Because too much global interest in, like, I mean, why not just jump?
War's expensive.
It's going to be a
War's expensive, but it also makes you money, too. I mean, I guess guess it depends on what side you're on.
Short term.
Yeah. Oh, short term, it's profitable.
We also don't have a very pro-war government right now. So, like, our monarchy really at this stage is next... It's a little bit more powerful than it is now, but it's not making the major decisions.
Who's in charge at this time?
Oh, it's some... Oh, he has a really stupid name, the Prime Minister.
Jeff.
It's like Equithi or something.
But there's more power balance Equimedius. Between the Prime Minister and the monarch.
Because Lloyd George is out right now, for now.
Yeah.
Lloyd George is not in charge.
No. Why is he out?
The back and forth, conservatives and liberals go back and forth on this.
Side question, when did the monarchy kind of like lose power and become a figurehead?
1701.
Yeah. So,
how come they still didn't have any sort of influence when it comes to World War One? They still have influence. Even today, I guess the monarchy still has influence in the UK.
Well, the Queen can technically still declare war. Like, in the UK, she can. But Yeah, it would be overturned almost immediately in Parliament.
Okay, so there are checks then for... Okay.
Yeah. Wait, she can just say, hey, we're going to go to war, and the Parliament's like,
you can still be executed in England if you commit treason.
She's still got to
sign that document. You can be executed in America if you commit treason. Are you listening,
Donald
Trump?
Treason.
Well, I mean, we abolished the death penalty, apart from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys do a lot of things way ahead of America. I mean, we get it. You guys are better.
And we don't have a very pro-war government. Mm-hmm. And it's... I don't know, we just like keeping to ourselves right now.
Sure,
you know?
Which is what America is trying to do at the same time with isolationism.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson dragging his feet with jumping.
He's dragging his feet with that, women's rights, you know, the KKK reforming, all those things right
KKK,
now.
KKK, he had a screening of Birth of a Nation. He was like, this is a great movie, guys.
We're not yet 1 year off, though. 1915.
Okay. Sorry,
we're one year off.
My bad, all right.
Yeah, history written by lightning, of course.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's what he said.
Yes,
unbelievable.
We're still 1 year off of that, so I didn't want to mention it, but he's still dragging his feet on the KKK.
Yep.
He promised women the right to vote. Hasn't happened yet.
That's 7-8 years off.
So, we'll talk about the women's rights movement one day.
That's a whole episode.
Asquith, that's his name. H.H. Asquith.
Okay. That is a ridiculous name.
Yeah, I can never remember it.
Very English.
But, he's also like, so there's a really famous quote. But I say really famous. There's a quote of him at a party, and somebody says to him later on, "Oh, you don't seem very interested in the war," and he laughs it off because he thinks they're joking, but they're not. Like, he's really very disinterested.
He really is genuinely disinterested in the war.
He doesn't have a lot to do with this war.
Wow.
The Prime Minister, which is why you get a change in leadership.
Oh yeah, pretty quick. Pretty quick. So. How do we get Britain in here? Well, the Germans have this plan. The plan was that they're a little bit of a disadvantage here because they got to fight the Russians and they've got to fight the French.
Mm-hmm.
That's dividing your forces. A war on two fronts is a bad idea. You need to have your forces in one area. The goal here is going into Russia is insane. It's a lot and it's going to require the most amount of resources. So that's got to be the long-term project. We can quickly defeat the French if we get to Paris right away. And the best way to get to Paris, this general by the name of von Schlieffen comes up with this idea. It's the von Schlieffen plan.
It's a bad plan.
Which is if we go through the Netherlands and Belgium, where the French aren't setting up their defenses, we can be in Paris within the month. And that's it. We'll sweep right through.
Oh, we're just going to go right through the middle of this country.
Go right in.
This country has declared neutrality as well at this point. Mm-hmm, and there is like... kind of like an unspoken law that you don't mess with countries
that
who say, I'm not going to help either side. We're just going to do our thing.
Yeah, don't go in my kitchen.
So they go in. The Netherlands falls pretty quickly. They just lay down. But Belgium stands up like, whoa, neutrality. And they put together a little defense force. And
bunch of waffles and start throwing them around.
Yeah. And the Germans clobber them.
Oh, yeah, of course. It
clobbered them to the point. And the problem was they clobbered them right in front of the cameras and notepads of all the English journalists who go right over the channel.
They hit them with
start propaganda machine, the barbaric Germans, look what they're doing to our neutral allies.
We do also have a protection treaty with Belgium, between England and Belgium. We do
so
have
this
a
activates,
treaty of protection.
Ah, so activate. This activates.
Britain's in now.
You get, like, so this is, like, the great time where
look how happy
you get,
got.
Like,
look
well,
at
you get Kitchener. Kitchener's the best because he's an a-hole. But people loved him, and it's because, like, so England declares war, and all of these posters start appearing around England, like, we need you, and he's, like, the person.
Wait,
you
they
must
took that
have
from
seen
Uncle
them.
Sam?
No, we took it from them.
We took it from them.
You're welcome.
Of course, Pedro, we steal everything, but we make it better, but we steal everything. Come on.
But yeah, he's like, he's you'll know the poster when you see it, but it's
I'm
like,
gonna look it up. Go ahead.
You'll look it up, but he's pointing. And
it's
like,
Britain needs
everyone,
you or something like that.
Yeah, everyone loves it. And with they really do have a good war spirit because they're like, oh, we'll be walking in Belgium by Christmas.
Everyone like, thinks the war is going to be over in 2 months. And rightfully they should, because the last time any of these Europeans had fought a war, it was against African tribesmen, and they had shotguns and they had spears.
Sure. Yeah. Because, which we talked about previously in another episode.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm looking. Okay, so I Googled that Britain needs you, your country needs you, and it's this dude with this badass mustache, and he's pointing like this. But then if you Google search this, then there's going to be Britain needs you at once, and it looks like a old poster for Game of Thrones.
Right,
they're fighting a dragon on a white horse.
Yes,
oh, that was also one as well.
Was it
at the time
George.
We had dragons?
Oh shit!
Oh yeah.
Well, Britain's patron saint is Saint George, who kills the dragons.
Okay,
so that's always imagery in there.
Again, you're welcome, world.
King
so,
Arthur
killing the dragons
right,
for you.
Exactly.
So that's why there are no more dragons. Thank you, England.
Yep.
So they're in.
And
this war's about to start. And because Britain's in, that means the colonies are going to start going in. This is why it's a world war, because now they...
Everybody's in.
All the guys enlist their African colonists to fight each other in Africa, and their Asian colonists start to fight each other in Asia. And so that's why it's called the world war.
And we got no referees.
No, there's no referee. There's no. There are no rules. This is the first time a lot of these war ideas are coming out, and no one knows what it is. This is the first time we're having chemical warfare with mustard gas.
Oh my god, it's terrifying. So you have a real similar concept to what you have in the American Civil War, that there hasn't really been a war on this scale for quite some time, and all of the technologies improved vastly, but everyone has the same kind of idea of how they want to fight a war. And you can't do a war with guns
and
the
horses.
Same way that you do with horses and a sword. So it takes a little while to figure out how to use the new technology.
So you're talking about the literal, like...
They quickly realized, because they were still doing cavalry charges.
So it's like,
I was going to say, yeah, so you're still talking about, like, showing up in the field... Two huge groups of people, and then they charge it like Braveheart or something.
No!
But now you're adding machine guns to modern
guns.
Tech. So where does that kind
machine
of warfare fit into? Okay.
And landmines.
Out. Yeah. Okay. You're telling me that during this war, there was cats coming around with like battle axes and horses. There's another people that had like Gatling guns.
I'm getting the feeling you've never seen War Horse.
No, I've never seen War Horse.
Watch War Horse.
Are you serious?
It's incredible.
War Horse is a good movie.
They really thought the cavalry
it's
was still going to work in the first year of the war.
That's the whole idea then behind trench warfare. That's how trenches that they couldn't advance because the technology had advanced beyond
the
whole idea.
Showed
of
up with claymores and
it's
stuff.
It's the first
like
time artillery is being used in this massive those big artillery guns.
Yeah.
So you got to save all the horses stuck in the. You got to watch. War Horse is good. It's quite the movie. I like it. Spielberg. So
the machine gun is now a thing.
Steven Spielberg, come on, man.
And they realize very quickly, this is not going to end in 2 months. They start digging trenches, and they stay there for years.
So much for Christmas, over by Christmas. Oh,
my goodness. It's
Joy Noel.
It becomes a war of attrition. Who can kill the most people? And each side gains maybe a mile of ground after each battle. It's just slaughter after slaughter. And this is the war that breaks generations, because all of these young men, high school and college students, were promised a better future. Women love a man in uniform.
Yeah.
Come home to your sweetheart. Come home and get a big parade from your community. Everything like that. It'll be over soon. You guys will all be heroes. And then there they are in no man's land, with the artillery flying around them like they've never seen before. The smoke everywhere as they're in these giant holes, and all they hear is this whistle from their officer, which means get out of these holes, run a mile in full backpack, dodge the landmines, dodge the machine guns, and if you get over to the other side and through the barbed wire, fight and stab as well as you can, and maybe, just maybe, you
we'll
can
do
take
this again
territory.
Tomorrow.
Exactly.
Oh, and if you say no, that same captain's going to shoot you in
that's
the back
treason.
Of the head.
Right.
Yeah, treason.
One in every two people is going to be maimed or dead in this war. It's a 50% casualty rate.
Damn, Dan. You're saying this like you're about to cry.
It destroyed generations.
Are you okay? You want some water?
Yeah, right? The people after this, the nickname for them is called the Lost Generation.
So like, it got so hard to get British people to join the army at one point, they had to reintroduce conscription into the UK to force people into the army because they ran out of soldiers. They were literally, you had no choice. Mm-hmm. You had no choice but to go to the front line and be killed.
And then after that, they had to go to India and say, listen, we will give you your independence if you fight in this war.
How many times did they play that St. Crispin speech just right? to recruit people?
Well, unfortunately, Ken Branagh hadn't been born yet.
Oh, that's the best.
That's, you don't get Ken Branagh. Oh, the ending of the world!
But
we happy few.
Oh, I love that speech.
We should do Agincourt one day. We've never done Agincourt. And so the war starts. And I think this is a good spot to end on. Because
yes,
there's some great
this whole
characters.
Thing, United States didn't even jump
Not
in yet.
We got to build up. We're going to build this up.
Part one.
This is part
you
one.
You get the Lusitania and the U-boats. Oh. Mexico joins in.
Mexico joins in. Yeah. Cuba sends.
It's a world war, Pedro. Mexico's
got
to get
Mexico
in.
Mexico is fighting the United States.
Yeah,
Viva la raza.
Over San Antonio.
And then we've got Churchill is going to do a daring operation with some Australians.
More jowl talk.
And Field Marshal Haig, my favorite idiot general.
Oh my god.
It's a great name.
He sucks. He sucks so bad.
But you're Haig.
He earns the name. That's a great name.
Is that why they called the Haig in Belgium?
No, it's a different spelling altogether.
H A I G.
We're gonna get Haig, we're gonna get Foch, we're gonna get Hindenburg.
We get like the introduction of submarines and tanks mm-hmm. and big helium
balloons. Bon Jovi
balloons
was in one of those boats.
Bombs.
Right. You remember that was U-571. It was World War One. Or World War Two.
Oh, it's two?
World War, yeah.
Oh, okay.
See. And we get, you're going to have a lot of fun characters coming in.
Oh, man, I'm so rusty at this. And I heard Dan doing it. Dan did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Oh my god, I hate that. Why do you do it?
I'm with you.
Time?
I hate it too. It's the worst.
It's the best. Cardi B does an AM. What is it? SMR? AMR?
ASMR.
ASMR. Oh, yeah.
Stroking the microphone.
She talks about that. Oh, French Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Nice.
My man. Hey, everybody, this has been episode one of The Great War of the Devils and the Details. Thank you so much for listening. Join us and our brothers and sisters on PFT Media. Follow us on PFT Media on Facebook. Check out our episodes stacked up on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, obviously Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us, please. Give us some feedback. Like Dan said last time, if you got a topic you want us to tackle, please do. We're running out of subjects, so we might repeat
running
some stuff.
Running out of subjects. It's a history show.
We're almost getting already to 19 something whatever. We're in December. We're gonna hit 2018.
Sure. I'll take you all the way back to Egypt. That's my favorite part of history.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay. We got plenty of stuff.
All right, so
we take requests.
We'll take requests. Yes. Yeah. Rate and review us. Email us at devilsinthedetailshow@gmail.com. Check out all the shows that we have there: Cinema Crespediso, What the Fuzz, The Major Scale, Scotch and Good Conversations, Simon Time. Trivia time, Simon the Bubba Papa. You erased that one real quick. State of the Beer Union, Tidbits, Lady Reptastic, and much more shows joining us here. So I've been Pedro Lima, that's been Dan Perella, the extremely sexy.
Oh, Lordy!
Clara St. Clair. Also, which you called a Rebecca a couple times.
I know.
And the voluptuous
one,
Chris Crespo.
It's Rebecca Clara St. Clair.
I'm just going to start throwing names.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever sticks. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
A PFT Media production.